Translation. Inform my daughter Sati to abandon her relationship with her husband because he has fallen down. When the husband falls down, it is the wife's duty to relinquish the relationship. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Srila Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya considered that if Amoga were killed, the killer would suffer sinful reactions for killing the body of a brahmana. For the same reason, it would have been undesirable for the Bhattacharya to commit suicide because he was also a brahmana. Since neither course could be accepted, the Bhattacharya decided to give up his relationship with Amoga and never see his face. As far as killing the body of a brahman is concerned, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.53 gives the following injunction concerning a brahma bandhu, a person born of a brahmana father but devoid of brahminical qualities. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Brahma Bandhu Nahantavya Atattai Vadarhanaha. The personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna said, a Brahma Bandhu is not to be killed, but if he is an aggressor, he must be killed. Quoting from the Smriti, Srila Sridhar Swami comments on this quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam. Atattainam ayantam api vedanta paragam jigam shantam jigam shiyan. An aggressor intent on killing may be a very learned scholar of Vedanta, yet he should be killed because of his envy in killing others. In such a case, it is not sinful to kill a brahmana. It is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.57, Vapanam dravinadanam stanan niryapanam tata esahi brahma bandunam vado nanyo stiddaihi kaha. Cutting the hair from his head, depriving him of his wealth, and driving him from his residence are the prescribed punishments for a Brahma Bandhu. There is no injunction for killing the body. As far as Sati, the daughter of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, was concerned, she was advised to give up her relationship with her husband. Concerning this, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.18 states, Napatis chasasyan na mochayedha samupeta mrityum. One cannot be a husband if he cannot liberate his dependents from inevitable death. If a person is not in Krishna consciousness and is bereft of spiritual power, he cannot protect his wife from the path of repeated birth and death. Consequently, such a person cannot be accepted as a husband. A wife should dedicate her life and everything to Krishna for further advancement in Krishna consciousness. If her husband abandons Krishna consciousness and she gives up her connection with him, she follows in the footsteps of the Dvija Patnis, the wives of the brahmanas who are engaged in performing sacrifices. The wife is not to be condemned for cutting off such a relationship. In this regard, Sri Krishna assures the Dvija Patnis in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.23, 31-32. Pitrabratir sutadaya lokaschavo mayopeta deva apyanumanvate. Napritaye nuragaya hyanga sango ninam iha tanmano mai yunjana achiranmam avapshata. My dear Dvija Patnis, rest assured that your husbands will not neglect you on your return, nor will your brothers, sons, or fathers refuse to accept you. Because you are my pure devotees, not only your relatives, but also people in general, as well as the demigods, will be satisfied with you. Transcendental love for me does not depend upon bodily connection, but anyone whose mind is always absorbed in me will surely very soon come to me for my eternal association. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Dasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam
Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So we just start by begging for the blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas to bless me so that we can share something that can be of benefit to all of us and help us get closer and closer to this mercy that Lord Chaitanya is freely giving out to all of us. In this text, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is telling his daughter, or is telling his wife, let my daughter know she should give up this relationship with her husband because her husband is a blasphemer. So what happened earlier in the text is that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited Lord Chaitanya to come for prasad, and when he invited Lord Chaitanya to come for prasad, because he was so excited that he's inviting the Lord to come and take prasad at his house, he cooked everything under the sun. Everything that was put, all the amazing foodstuffs, nice sweets, everything was being prepared for this visit of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya visits the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and is honoring the prasadam that was cooked with so much love, so much attention, so much detail was paid in serving the Lord so wonderfully. So the Lord is being served prasadam to the heart's content of the server. Lord Chaitanya is reciprocating with the love that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is displaying and his wife is displaying, because they're just so happy to have the Lord at his home. And Lord Chaitanya is honoring prasadam. And then Amoga, who is the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, so his daughter is Sati and the husband of Sati is Amoga, he turns up, he's trying to get in. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya didn't really want him to come because he knew kind of what kind of character he is. You know, like if you're inviting some important person, you know, you try and tell maybe some dodgy characters in your family, like, you don't come right now, you come a bit later, you know. So he didn't want Amoga to come, but somehow when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya got busy in serving, Amoga came in. Amoga comes in and he sees Lord Chaitanya eating all the prasadam, honoring all this prasadam, so much prasadam, and Lord Chaitanya, to reciprocate with his devotees, is honoring the prasadam out of love for his devotees. And Amoga sees this, and when he sees this, he's saying, oh my God, God, you're meant to be a sannyasi. How much are you eating? What's wrong with you? And at that point, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, his heart just breaks, just shatters into pieces, because he's invited the Lord. The Lord of his heart has been invited. And in his home, he has been offended. The Lord has been offended in his home. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so upset. Amoga knew what he was doing. He knew that he's going to get everyone upset. He's going to make him angry. He's going to make his father-in-law angry. So Amoga just runs. He does a runner. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya goes and chases him with a stick. And at this time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is cursing Amoga. His wife is also cursing about his wife is just beating herself and saying, let my daughter just become a widow. This Amoga is just useless, such a useless character. to blaspheme the Lord.
And Lord Chaitanya, he doesn't pay much attention to it. He's kind of just, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya comes back, he's just all so, like, he's so angry at Amoga. So, and all these mixed emotions. So angry at Amoga, so sad that this has happened in his home, and feeling compassion for Lord Chaitanya, who's been blasphemed in this way. And sometimes when we are going through mixed emotions, we don't know which one to concentrate on. Like, am I angry? Am I sad? am I feeling sad for the other person? It all just feels a bit overwhelming. It all just feels like a bit too much, because there's multiple things happening at the same time. And it's important for us to recognize, okay, this is what's happening in my body. This is what's going on for me. I'm feeling sad. I'm also feeling angry. I'm also feeling nervous. And just to recognize what we're feeling can help us release what we're feeling. A lot of the time what we try to do is just distract ourselves, you know, just do something else. And then we're walking around like this overwhelmed body of emotions and feelings. You just don't know what to do with yourself. And then what will happen naturally is you'll end up letting out that steam or letting out those emotions on someone who didn't quite deserve it, because we didn't deal with our own stuff. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he comes back, and luckily for him, he's got the Lord, the very compassionate, understanding, supreme personality of Godhead with him. And he's like, you know, he's just laughing. You know, Lord Chaitanya is just laughing. He's like, anyway, big deal. And what he said is right. I am eating quite a lot, actually. But you don't worry about it, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You don't worry about it. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's relieved that the Lord hasn't taken it that way, but at the same time, he's still so sad that this has happened. You know, and he really tries to reprieve the situation. He goes with Lord Chaitanya. He goes back to take him back home, and he comes back, and then this is when he's contemplating, and he's saying to his wife that this is just too much. And he's saying to his wife, look, let's get our daughter to just give up this relationship. He's thinking I should just kill him. Actually, if I don't, then I'll kill him, and then I'll just kill myself. And then this is when he's contemplating, well, actually, we can't do that, because these are the bodies of Brahmanas. Amoghas actually come from a Brahmana family. We're in a Brahmana lineage, so we can't do that. So this is when he's suggesting, okay, maybe she should just give up that relationship. And this tendency to fault find is something we hear a lot of, isn't it? I mean, it's probably when you first came to the Hare Krishna movement, you probably walked in, you were told who Srila Prabhupada is, you were told who Radha Gokulananda is, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Gornita, and then the first thing they probably, but don't offend a Vaishnava. You know, it's just like, it's the first thing we're told. Don't upset the devotees, because it's ingrained in us. We just kind of, we know the dangers of it. And time again in the Shastra, we hear about it. And sometimes we don't even know we're offending when we're offending. And sometimes we just get too caught up in, I don't want to cause offense, Prabhu. which just means I don't want to do the service, Prabhu. so sometimes we get a bit caught up in this Vaishnava aparad. But what we can think about here is that Amoga, and what it says here is that the reasons he had this kind of urge to speak like this to Lord Chaitanya was because of Matsarya, his inherent envy. So he had this real envy for the Lord, and Dushita Buddhi, he had contaminated intelligence. So he's got external piety, he's from a learned Brahmana family, he's associated with the Lord, but his heart has not become purified. His heart isn't purified because his heart isn't purified. He's splurted out something quite ridiculous, actually. I mean, even if someone is eating a lot, and even if he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if they've come to your home and they're eating, you just, you know, you might think something. We can't control our thoughts, but we won't say anything, you know. But he just went for it. He just went for it. And this is like he had a false sense of this moral superiority. You know, that I am also great. I am from a learned Brahmana family. I am also great. And maybe, I mean, this envy, maybe Amoga is thinking, well, they've never served me like this. You know, I've married their daughter. I've never had this kind of prasad of Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagwan Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Bhagwan Ki Jai, Gornita Bhagwan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, this spiritual magnetism, this aura, this glow of Lord Chaitanya is very special. This aura is very special. This molten gold complexion of Lord Chaitanya is very, very special. And Amoga is wondering, why is it that I'm not getting the same honor from my father-in-law that Lord Chaitanya is getting? So then what happens is Amoga, in his own complex, is longing for significance, longing for importance. You, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, my dear father-in-law, you should make me feel significant. You should make me feel important. So he's projected his longing for significance and importance on Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And when that hasn't come, or when that importance has gone to someone else, that matsarya, that envy, has riled up in him. That he then, what does envy do? It makes you want to bring someone down. So what does he do to the Lord? He says, you look how much you're eating. How can a sannyasi eat like this? So it's important for us to also learn from what makes someone offend. You know, it's like we hear about don't offend, don't offend, don't offend. But if we just take a step inwards and reflect on what is it within us that causes us to be offensive, that causes the end, that brings the envy within ourselves. And we can see in this pastime that Amoga, he wants something. He wants importance, but what he's done is he's given his power of being important and significant to someone else. You know? And actually, Krishna's in all of our hearts. Krishna tells Arjun that I'm in your heart. Krishna tells Arjun, you're my very good friend, you're my very dear friend. So he's telling all of us, I'm your very dear friend, I'm in your heart. So if Krishna's in our heart, and we have accepted that Krishna is in our heart, that means we're important to Krishna. We are important to Krishna. We are significant to Krishna. And sometimes we can become at odds with this point that, oh, but I'm supposed to feel insignificant like a straw in the street, but at the same time, I'm significant to Krishna. But both can be there. Both can be there. We are significant to Krishna, and because we're so significant to Krishna, we recognize how much we are loved. And when we recognize how much we are loved by Krishna, we don't need to feel significant to anyone else in the world. We don't need to give our power of my importance and my significance to another person. Because naturally what will happen is our expectations and our projections will come crashing down on us. And when they come crashing down on us, that's when we realize, or that's when Krishna sometimes does this, that he puts us in situations, or we can say he puts us, you know, he allows situations to come about that help us realize, or makes us realize, oh, actually, maybe I'm not as amazing as I thought I was, if we're getting too proud. And you know, when we're feeling really down and we're feeling really low and we're feeling quite upset and sad and the emotions are getting the better of us, and we come to the temple and then somehow Krishna makes us feel really important. A devotee will give you some maha that you weren't expecting. Or a devotee says, can you go and garland Srila Prabhupada? And you're thinking, me? How can I garland Srila Prabhupada? Like, I'm just like such a fool. But somehow... And I remember this happening some years back. I was feeling really sad, really low, and I came for Guru Puja. And one devotee just came to me, can you garland Srila Prabhupada? And I'm like, me? How can I garland Srila Prabhupada? No, you garland Srila Prabhupada. I'm like, no, you garland Srila. And then just being able to do that service and just recognizing at that point, this is Krishna. He's personally in our hearts. He's personally taking care of our lives in the most prolific way, in the most amazing way. It's just, are we open to seeing that this is coming from Krishna? So when we're feeling really, really low, Krishna will help you. When you're feeling very proud, Krishna will help you. Krishna will help you. And if Amoga could recognize that he's significant to Krishna, that he's important to Krishna, that he's loved by Krishna, then he's not going to go and offend someone else because he feels loved. He feels significant. He feels important. And because we are important to Krishna, because we are significant to Krishna, then Krishna gives us our own agency and he gives us the responsibility to make ourselves feel important and significant because we ourselves know we're part and parcel of Krishna. We don't have to give that power, we don't have to give that agency to anybody else. And when we do give that agency to someone else, we're naturally going to feel disappointed because it will never be enough. It will never be enough. If it's the fact that we've given the agency to someone else, that itself shows that we're not feeling enough. So whatever comes from that person will just not be enough. And even if it is enough, we'll find something that could have been wrong because we're just not feeling enough in ourselves. We're not feeling important in ourselves. So yes, Krishna does say, Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. You know, we respect others and don't expect any respect in return. He doesn't say don't respect yourself. It doesn't say don't respect yourself. It's important to respect ourselves because if we can respect ourselves, how do we respect ourselves? Not that I'm some amazing, significant, important person in this world who can go and do things and just look at me. No, but we can respect ourselves as part and parcel of Krishna. Jive swarupoi, Krishna nitya das. That if my constitutional position is that I'm the servant of Krishna, I can respect myself because I am a servant of Krishna. And if I can respect myself as a servant of Krishna, if I can respect myself as part and parcel of Krishna, then what will be able to happen? Then with that love and respect that I've understood is coming from Krishna, this significance and importance that is coming from Krishna, I will then have the love within me to respect and love everyone around me and not give them the power to decide how my day is going to go. You know, it's like you have one bad interaction, you know, someone says something to you on the train, or someone, you know, someone walks by you at the temple and forgets, doesn't say Hari Bol because they're in their own world, and that's it. That Prabhu didn't say Hari Bol to me. Da, 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 da. You know? But we don't have to allow someone else to decide that for us. And sometimes we just got to teach ourselves just like we would teach our children. Like just think of if you have a little child or you know little children, and if a child comes back and say, this person didn't play with me today, what would you say? You'd say, that's okay. They probably didn't mean it. You know, but when it happens to us, someone didn't say Hari Bol to me today. Can we say to ourselves, that's okay. They probably didn't mean it. You know? So I've got two young daughters, and these kind of things happen all the time, isn't it? And we have to teach them. It's okay, don't worry. But then when it's ourselves, we're like, doo, doo, doo. How dare they? How dare they not realize how important and significant I am? That they didn't say Hari Bol to me. Amoga, he goes to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he's thinking, how dare they? They cook all this for the sannyasi. I have married their daughter. They didn't do this for me. And in the purport, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is describing how the wives of the brahmanas, the dvija patnis, they also were just so immersed in, they were so immersed in their love for Krishna. And just like Amoga, maybe not as, we should say, direct as Amoga, but the brahmanas, when the gopas approached them, and why? Because they're in the forest, you know, they've been walking all the way from Nandagram, they've got the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram, they've got their cows, and at some point it's really hot, it's a hot summer's day in Vrindavan, and they're saying to Krishna that, you know, this hunger is causing us distress. Esave badate kshunnas. This hunger is causing us a lot of distress, Krishna. And they say to Krishna, because they've got this loving relationship, that Krishna tachantim kartum artata, that this has to be sorted out by you. You should do something about it. Tachantim kartum artata. We're hungry, we're distressed because of hunger. You sort it out, mate. They can do that. When we do that, it's not out of a loving relationship. When we do that, we're like, how dare you, Krishna? You know, I've been chanting Hare Krishna all these years and now I'm hungry. Or now this difficulty has come upon me. And then Krishna says to them, okay, you're hungry. Why don't you do this? You go. Prayata deva yajjanam. You go to the sacrificial arena. The brahmanas are all there. And they are doing this angirasa yagya. They're doing this sacrifice to go to heaven. You go there and you ask them for some food. They'll give it to you. And Krishna knew that they're not going to give it. But we know, don't we, that sometimes Krishna sets us up in some super embarrassing situations, doesn't he? Just like, oh my God, seriously, Krishna, I thought this was going to work out. the brahmanas go, they announce, you know, Kritayanto Bhagavata, the Lord tells them, you announce, the Lord Balaram has, and myself, in my name, and Balaram's name, that we have asked for the food from this sacrificial arena. So they go there, they say to the brahmanas, look, we're really hungry, and Krishna and Balaram, they've asked us to come here, they want you to feed them, can we have some food? And then what do the brahmanas do? They kind of look at them, they kind of talk between themselves. So the boys are here, they're asking. They it takes a lot of humility to beg for food. And the brahmanas, do they call it ghosting or blanking? Blanking? I don't know, there's different words for these things. But basically, they didn't say anything to the boys. The boys just were ignored. They're just ignored. And the boys, you know, they're clever. They got the hint, like, nothing's going to happen here. We're not going to get any food. And they're kind of wondering, like, why did Krishna tell us to come here and ask these brahmanas for the food? Because they didn't give us anything. And they kind of just ignored the boys. You know, they're just thinking, like, these are just two little boys. And, you know, if Krishna and Balaram, if they're the supreme personality of Godhead, how can they be struck with something like hunger? Hunger is like a material thing. If they're the Lord, why are they struck with hunger? So then they go back to Krishna. And the Lord hears what happened. Really, they're really like confused, and Krishna says to them, "Okay, never mind." He just starts laughing, you know? Just like Lord Chaitanya. It's interesting, isn't it? When Lord Chaitanya heard that offense by Amoga, he just started laughing. When Krishna hears that the brahmanas didn't give them any food, he just started laughing. If we are also full in ourselves and feeling loved and feeling significant and feeling important, when we are offended or when someone doesn't want to do something for us, you just notice it. You can kind of laugh at it. Okay, and that's their thing. That's not my thing. That's not because there's something wrong with me. You know, sometimes we just start punishing ourselves. Oh my God, I must be such a bad person. I must be such a horrendous soul. You know, we just start giving ourselves this immense punishment. But Lord Krishna just laughs. He doesn't think, oh my God, maybe I haven't been a good God. maybe I didn't play the flute properly today. You know, he didn't think like that. He just starts laughing. Lord Chaitanya, he just starts laughing when Amoga offends him and tells him he's eating too much. He's just like, yeah, anyway. And then you could just recognize, okay, that's their thing. That's their thing. And we can kind of just laugh at it. We can notice it. But without having to take it so personally. we can see that spiritual life as we go through our anarthas and we're trying to practice anartha nirvritti, that spiritual life is a journey of trying to soften the heart, but also trying to thicken the skin. You know, we've got to have a thick skin and a soft heart. And it's an interesting balance. Sometimes when we're so sensitive and soft, when we have this soft heart, it also comes with a lot of sensitivity. Or when we've got really thick skin, it comes with a very hard heart. And we're trying to find that balance. How can we have a very soft heart and thick skin? And being full in the love of Krishna, in that significance that Krishna gives us, in the importance that Krishna gives us, then it's like, okay, big deal. Big deal. Okay, they're laughing at me. They said something about me. Do I genuinely believe that what they said about me is true? No, I don't genuinely believe that what they said about me is true. Okay, then let them think what they want. It's okay. Krishna knows me. Krishna knows me. And this is something that we can always remind ourselves. Krishna knows me. Krishna knows my heart. So Krishna knew the Brahmana's heart. He knew that they were doing a sacrifice to go to heaven. So they were doing something for a material benefit. So then he just says, okay, if you don't want to, if you're still hungry and you don't mind, why don't you go now to the Patni Shala? Go to the wives of the Brahmanas. Go to them. Because the wives of the Brahmanas, these wives, they hardly even eat, they hardly drink anything, they are just totally immersed in their love for me. They're totally immersed in their love for me. So you go to them. And when you go to them, you tell them that I'm here, you tell them that Balaram is here, you tell them we're hungry, and just see what happens. They will give you all their food. They will give you as much food as you desire. So you go there. Snigda mayushita diya. They've got this snigda. They've got this affection for me. And their intelligence just resides in me. They will not say no to you. So then off they go. You know, Krishna says jump. They jump. How high, Krishna? So it's okay. They went once. The Brahmanas said no. They come back. Krishna says, okay, don't worry about that. Now go to the wives of the Brahmanas. Now see what happens. So then they walk back. They're going back. They go to the Patni Shala. They go and see the wives of the Brahmanas. And they say to the wives of the Brahmanas that, hey, you know, we're here. We've come. We're with Krishna. We're with Balaram. And then as soon as they say that they're with Krishna and they're with Balaram, actually, even when they see the cowherd boys, when they see them, they see their garlands and they see that the way they're dressed in their dhotis and the garlands and the peacock feathers and the dust from grazing the cows, they're just immediately already thinking about Krishna. And then when they hear that Krishna and Balaram are just round the corner, they are in ecstasy. They are just in ecstasy. And so they're in total ecstasy. And then the boys are thinking, uh-oh, same again. They're not saying anything. But it was a different kind of not saying anything. When the Brahmanas didn't say anything, is they were trying to like, how do I get out of this? You know, how do I blank these kids? But the wives of the Brahmanas, they were just, wow, Krishna and Balaram are here. Krishna and Balaram are giving us some personal service. Wow! And they were just, whoa, in ecstasy. And the boys are just kind of waiting to see, okay, what's going to happen next? Are we going to make that long journey back? But the wives were so happy and they immediately started preparing all the foodstuffs and all the prasadam that was meant to go for the yajna. Everything they were taking it all, the boys were taking it all, you know, and the boys didn't, you know, they didn't hold back. They're like, it'll take this one, that one, everything. So they'd all start carrying it in their hands, their knees, their heads, their shoulders. They just, as much as they just take everything, and they're all walking out, and the Brahmanas see their wives, they see these boys, and they see them all walking along, and they're all going back, and the Brahmanas thinking, What are you doing?
and they're like, well, we're off. We're going to give Krishna and Balaram the prasadam. And they're like, no, you can't do that. If you really want to give them some prasad, we'll send them some prasad. Look, their tone changed straight away. Like, okay, now we've got to do something, because right now what it looks like, we're not just losing the prasad, we're losing our wives at the same time. Like, they weren't expecting that. Like, okay. Now they don't mind giving the food, because they still wanted their wives. And at this point, even though their wives were so, we could say, humble, so chaste, you know, in the Vedic times, mainly at home, they weren't used to speaking up for themselves in this way, but they just said to the husbands, just no. No, I'm going to Krishna and nobody can stop me. This Krishna prem, Ashlishya vapadaram pinastamam darshanam mama hatam karotva yata tatava vedato lampato mat prananatastu saeva naparaha. This mood, this feeling that I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, he shall remain so. Even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me broken hearted by not being before me, He is my unconditional Lord all the time, forever. So there's nothing you can do. You know, when Lord Chaitanya states this verse as the final verse in the Shikshashtakam, the pinnacle of Krishna Prem, that whoever you are, wherever you are, nothing's getting in my way. Krishna is my Lord unconditionally. So they're kind of like, look, sorry, Prabhus, we're off. So off they go. The Brahmanas are thinking, oh my God, like, what a catastrophe, what a disaster. And then the wives go to Krishna. And when they see Krishna, they are just totally, totally immersed in love. This is all they've been waiting for. They've been waiting to see Krishna forever. And they finally get to see Krishna. And when they finally get to see Krishna, Krishna says to them, Swagatam, come in, come here, take a seat. You have made the most wise decision by coming here today. You have got good intelligence. You are very fortunate. So Krishna is telling them how fortunate they are, that they made this decision to give everything up and just come to him. And Krishna spends some time with them. He sits in the middle of the lady, in the middle. He talks to them. And after some time, and the ladies, they just by looking at Krishna, just by having his darshan, they close their eyes and they're just embracing Krishna. And they're embracing Krishna, their eyes are closed. They don't even want to open their eyes because they're thinking that he'll come out of our eyes. You know, this spiritual ecstasy that we cannot understand. And when they finally open their eyes and Krishna's still there, and then Krishna tells them what they really didn't want to hear. And he then says to them, okay, now you should go back. You should go back and go back to your husbands and go back to your homes and serve your families, but always think of me. And they were like, whoa, we've just given everything up. We've just given everything up to come to you. And when we come to you, you're telling us to go back. What's going on? And this is the thing in our spiritual lives, that sometimes we make some decisions and we make that decision fully because this is what we want to do for Krishna. And we've guru, sadhu, shastra, we've checked everything out, we've done all the right things, we've done it with a good heart, we've done it with the mood of surrender, we've done it because we want to love Krishna, and it doesn't quite work out the way we think it should work out, or we had planned for it to work out. And Krishna makes us do something totally different, or Krishna closes some doors that you just thought had just opened. Just like the wives of the Brahmanas, they just thought, this door is now open. We're going to Krishna. So they go to see Krishna, and Krishna's like, thank you very much, you did the right thing. I love you, you love me, but you got to go back. And they're just like, no. And sometimes when some doors shut in our lives, we're thinking, no. What am I going to do now? But at the same time, Krishna leaves some doors open. You know, some doors shut, but Krishna leaves some doors open, and we can now explore, okay, what does Krishna want me to learn? What does Krishna want me to do? How does he want me to respond to this situation? And he tells the ladies that, you know, you just go back. You go back, you always think of me. Just hold me in your hearts. And this separation, while thinking of me and longing for me in separation, this is where you will always find me, and I will always be there. I'll always be there in that separation while you think of me. So this can be applied to all of us. And we know it's applied to all of us because he even says the same thing to Arjun, man manabhav mad bhakto, that, you know, always think of me, become my devotee. So he's given the same instruction to Arjun. And so therefore he is always present when we are thinking of him. When we are remembering him, always remember Krishna. You know, we always hear these nice slogans, always remember Krishna and never forget him. So we might fight Krishna's plan, but ultimately we have to surrender to Krishna's plan because we can't do anything about his plan. The Brahmanas didn't want their wives to go. One thing the Brahmanas said when they didn't want their wives to go to Krishna, what will people think? What will people think? How much of our lives are we living because we're wondering what people will think? Again, it's another surrendering of our own agency, because we're worried that they'll think this and that person might think that, so I'll go do this and I'll go do that. And what happens? We start to lose ourselves. We start to forget our own authentic self. How am I best placed to serve Krishna? How am I best placed to serve Krishna? What's my connection with Krishna? What people think is up to them. We can't even control our own thoughts. And sometimes we're trying to control other people's thoughts. And then what we do so that we can control other people's thoughts. So this person has a good impression of us. We go and do this and we go and do that just for a reason that doesn't serve our relationship with Krishna. And the Brahmanas are thinking, what will people think? But when they go back, so the ladies are thinking, okay, when we go back, everyone is going to reject us. Because we rejected them to come to you, Krishna, and now you want us to go back. And what does Krishna say? When you go back, the demigods, your husbands, your family, they will all be totally changed. Everything, and they will serve you, and they will realize how devotional you are, and they will look at you in a very different way. And so this is what happens when we surrender to the plan of the Lord, when we can see that, okay, Krishna's plan is different to what I thought the plan was going to be. I surrendered, I'm going to go here, but Krishna's changed all of that now, and I've got to go back here, and now everything's wrong because it's not what we thought. But when we go back, When we understand this is the plan of the Lord, and we do it with a good heart, and we always think of Krishna, and remember we're doing this for Krishna. They go back, and the Brahmanas they're worshipping their wives. Their hearts completely changed. How did their hearts completely change? Because who's in their heart? Krishna. So if we can see that Krishna can change anyone's heart. Krishna can change anyone's heart. And sometimes we're so bothered, so upset, so overwhelmed by the way other people are. But we know that actually Krishna can change their heart at any moment. And if their heart is not changing, we understand that that's not the plan of the Lord at this moment. We can't wait for other people to change their heart. We can only deal with our own heart. We can only connect our heart to Krishna. We can't worry about other people not changing their heart. When will this happen? When will they understand that I need to have this position or this, whatever it is, or this service or whatever it is? So when they go back, the brahmanas, they're totally immersed in their wives. They're totally seeing this amazing devotion in their wives. And seeing this devotion in their wives, they have a wonderful relationship. They end up going to worship. They end up going to worship Giriraj and the Govardhan Puja. When Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, the wives get to be under that hill and be with Krishna for those 7 days. And this way, when Krishna changed their hearts to the brahmanas, everything worked out beautifully for them. The Lord doesn't take the offense of the devotee personally, the way the Lord takes the offense of the brahmanas, the way the Lord took the offense of Amoga, is that this is going to not be good for them. This won't be good for them. It's like, again, we're like little children to the Lord, and we just need to be taught in different ways. But when the Lord is teaching us something, the Lord is teaching us something not because He's getting personally affected, but He just wants what's best for us. So for example, if the child says something to the parent that is rude, the parent may not take it so seriously because this is just my kid. So if the child says something like, "You're stupid." Now the parent might not take it seriously because the child's learnt this word at school, or this child's learnt this word somewhere, and this child is now using this word with me. The parent might not think much of it, and the parent loves the child so much, it's not a big deal. But what the parent will do is the parent will correct the child because they don't want the child to go and say that to others. You know, you can't call other people stupid. Don't call other adults stupid. You know, don't call other children stupid. So the parent will have to teach the child. So somehow the Lord teaches us these lessons. So what happened to Amoga? What happened to Amoga is soon after he got sick. He got this cholera. And in that sickness, what happened? He became humble. He realized that his offense was not good for him. And the Lord, what did the Lord do? He came to Amoga. He massaged Amoga and forgave Amoga. And Amoga, then his heart completely changed. So the Lord may teach us some lessons through the school of, what is it called? The school of hard knocks. If we can't learn joyfully and happily, when the Lord gives us joyful and happy lessons, and when we become complacent, sometimes He might have to teach us in a difficult way. But His motive is just so that we learn and that we grow. He's not here to get us. So, just to conclude, we can just share that when we are offensive, like we see Amoga or we see the Brahmanas, when we are being offensive, when we are being rude or in a blasphemous nature, maybe there's something within me that isn't full, that isn't feeling loved, that not feeling significant, not feeling important. And when we can just think about the wives of the brahmanas and how much love they had for Krishna, how much they just knew Krishna loved them. And when we have this full heart, full of Krishna's love, then these lower qualities, this matsarya, this envy won't come out. This offensive nature won't come out. I remember once I spoke to one devotee and I was telling this devotee that, you know, this has happened. I was telling him a situation, and I was and one devotee was being criticized by someone else. And I shared my heart, and it's quite embarrassing to say it, but now that I'm in the middle of it, I'll just say it. I said to my devotee friend, I said to him, you know, he's being criticized, but there's a part of me that actually feels happy about that. And I was quite embarrassed to say, I'm actually very embarrassed to say it now. But I said, yeah, I was quite happy. There's something in me that was a bit happy that he did get criticized because, you know, yeah. And he said to me, my devotee friend, one of my Shiksha gurus, one of my mentors, he said to me, Kanchanabja, he said, you need to find fullness in your own relationship with Krishna. And I was just thinking, wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I need to feel full and immersed and connected with Krishna myself. And if I'm feeling full and connected in my relationship with Krishna, all of these negative qualities, they won't be there. We'll be able to transcend them the right way by becoming aware of them and then being able to transcend them. We can't transcend without becoming aware. That's like a spiritual bypass, you know. But if we become aware of it, okay, this is in me. This is something that's in me. Okay, I can feel it in me. I'm understanding that this envy is in my heart. I can feel it in my body. I can feel it in my nerves. Okay, how can I release it? I've accepted this is in me. Okay, how can I now take my conditioned self to Krishna and find some connection with Him? So we'll end here. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Would anyone like to share any thoughts? Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Do we have a mic? Anyway, maybe you can. Maybe not. Maybe you can. Okay, I can repeat the question. Okay. Mm.
So what is that balance of actually, like you're saying, wife's duty to relinquish the relationship, but it's also duty to persevere.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. So yeah, there's a duty to persevere with relationships, and at the same time here in the verse it's saying that it was the wife's duty to relinquish the relationship. But what's really interesting is that when the wives of the brahmanas were ready to relinquish the relationship, Krishna made them go back and persevere. So these kind of decisions shouldn't be taken lightly, because even sometimes, even when we may think that it's the right thing to do right now to relinquish the relationship, Krishna has other ideas, Krishna has other plans. So that's why it's important to have Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So we take guidance from those around us that is it so bad that actually I need to relinquish the relationship? Like you said, there's a duty, there's a dharma to persevere. But at the same time, I mean, if we look at the modern world, if there is abuse, you know, we can't tell someone to persevere in something if it's detrimental to their well-being. So that's why these decisions aren't taken as a light thing. These decisions are taken with the guidance of those around us, following the Shastra, following the Guru. And also we can see what's real, what's best for us. Srila Prabhupada always told us to be independently thoughtful. So also to know for ourselves what the best thing is. What was good here with the wives of the brahmanas, they relinquished their relationship, but it wasn't like, for now, we're going. And then they took some break. And then after some time, they went back. So maybe sometimes it's just a break that might be needed. But in this way, I think it's a very individual, and every situation's individual. And in that way, we can take the right guidance, look within ourselves, follow what's best for us, and take the next steps ultimately so that we can be emotionally and mentally well enough so that we can connect with Krishna best. I think that's really important. There's just some thoughts. If anyone else has any idea. Murai Puru?
I'll just share one quick reflection.
Yeah, please.
I really like the point that you were making about how Krishna will help us if we're proud, but conversely, Krishna will also help us if we're struggling, if we're feeling low. I was just reflecting on how that help can, very often that will come in the form of our guides, in the form of our guru. I was thinking about my earlier Krishna consciousness myself when I joined the ashram very young. I hadn't really formed my sense of self, you know. And Krishna comes in the form of guru. And for me, my guru believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And, you know, really helped me to like feel valued and develop that in myself. Conversely, a little later on when I came a bit closer and was serving my guru, he used to take every opportunity to grind me down into a fine powder. And I was just like, what's going on? Like, why are you doing this? You know, it's like, you know, I'd just get absolutely roasted, you know, so often. And I didn't really understand why. And it wasn't until sometime later he was giving one class and he said, it's a duty of the spiritual master to see the nature of the disciple's false ego and to somehow or other try to remove it.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Thank you. It's the nature, was it it's the duty of the guru to
see
the nature of the false ego of the disciple and to remove it.
Somehow or other to try
somehow or other to remove it.
So that's the sadhu. He cuts.
Yeah.
It's the operation.
Yeah.
You know. I'm still in surgery 30 years later.
It's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes you're with the guru and you're thinking, okay, you know, like he's giving me some personal service, I'm doing some service, and you're with him and it's great. And then you're doing, and then there's another time you're with him and then he's just like, he's not giving you any attention. Yeah. He's not even looking. You're like, hey, what about me? Remember me? But they know that, the guru knows that actually, yeah, this false ego needs cutting. He thinks he's proud because he's around me. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful class.
Oh, yes, Deepak Prabhu.
Just a quick point. I just remembered on the point in the purple, when the husband falls down, it is the wife's duty to relinquish the relationship. It just reminded me of Srila Prabhupada's sister, Pishima, whose husband was not of the best behavior, we can say. But Srila Prabhupada advised her to carry on serving her husband and serving her deities. And at the end, the husband completely changed, and he was so taken by her devotion to the deities and to him that he became a devotee of sorts. So, yeah, as you were saying, you shouldn't just relinquish immediately. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And that's what happened with the wives of the brahmanas. They were so immersed in Krishna that the brahmanas felt so much love for their wife after seeing that devotion to Krishna. Just like you said about Pishima also. Thank you so much. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.